Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK Live telephone talk show On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Joe McGranahan is here. Rob Sanders, our fabulous producer. Matt Cotrillo's over in the newsroom keeping an eye on traffic. He says the last line in America is the one that Kevin is in. It's as of 8:30 this morning. He was not even to Hanover Street, so that is just...
Well, that's not good, is
that
it?
That is a long line. Strangely enough, that is the last long line this morning. Front Street's doing a little better. Priestley Bridge is okay. Danville's 100% clear, so we're doing pretty well traffic-wise. 8:33 in the morning. This is On the Mark, WKOK Live telephone talk show On the Mark. We had a vibrant discussion yesterday with State Senator John Gordner talking about legislation that he's a co-sponsor of that would help the nuclear power industry, particularly troubled plants in Beaver Valley, PA, and Three Mile Island, which are going to be closing in the months and years ahead if they don't receive some recompense through rate payers. The proposal also is for taxpayer, check that, electric ratepayers to chip in $1.50 a month so that the TMI in Beaver Valley can stay open, and they'll do that through the a complex system of using existing energy regulation, electricity regulation that involves promoting not carbon-free, that's a bonus, but that's not the name of it, but renewable energies, I guess.
You believe they've been harmed then?
Who?
The nuclear power industry. Use the word recompense. That implies harm.
Oh, well, they are harmed by the natural gas industry. It's called competition.
Okay.
Just like the buggy industry was hurt by the automobile industry.
And they deserved recompense?
Right. And the, I don't think so. No, I'm a non-recompenser.
Okay, well, you said recompense, and that implies they've been harmed and they deserve it.
Right.
But that wasn't the position you took yesterday.
No, and that's not the position. I haven't expressed my opinion yet.
You have when you use the word recompense.
No, I think that's what the whole thing's
describing.
Are you
saying you misspoke?
No, I'm saying that you're out of control.
No, I'm just giving you the definition of the word.
Look it up.
I did.
On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check it out at sunburymotors.com. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. The toll-free line sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Mount Pleasant Mills, Norrie Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. Throughout our show, you're welcome to email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. I want to talk about some people. Terry, Tyler, Steve, Jennifer, and Brad. Why are their first names important when you go to the Lewisburg Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, Norrie Pharmacy, Trutz Pharmacy, or Shade Mountain Pharmacy? Because you will be treated to knowing their first name, and they'll treat you on a first-name basis if you wish. Now, some people would like to be held at arm's length, so this is an opportunity for you to talk to them.
Do you still wish to be called Mr. Mark Lawrence when you go into the drugstore?
Never. I do not wish to be called that at any time.
Well, you told me last week I had to call you Mr.
Well,
Mark Lawrence.
Just you. I'm not going to a hometown pharmacy with you.
All right.
You go... You go by yourself.
I will.
I'm going to send you to the Norrie Pharmacy. That's probably closest to you.
See Steve.
Right. Or Lewisburg Pharmacy. Either way, it depends upon how traffic is. You might want to go to the Lewisburg Pharmacy. But the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop and Lewisburg Pharmacy, Norrie Pharmacy, Trutz Pharmacy, and Shade Mountain Pharmacy would love to see you. They would talk to you on a first-name basis, and they'll get to know your whole portfolio of medicines. Joe takes a lot of pills, so this is an opportunity for you to find out what might be an interaction might be, and when you fake that you have an illness or that you're
hypochondriac?
Yeah, right, when he hypochondrically goes to the doctor.
Hypochondria.
Right, when he hypochondrically goes to the doctor again and gets another pill, well then Terry at Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Tyler at Trutz Pharmacy, Steve at Norrie Pharmacy, Jennifer at Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Brad at the Lewisburg Pharmacy will talk him down and make sure that he's not taking that pill if he doesn't need it.
They're going to be talking about me, are they?
With you. And making sure that you're well served. So, first name basis, please, hometown pharmacies. I don't know if they got their money's worth from that live read or not.
Well, Mr. Mark Lawrence did his best.
Hard to say. All right, 1-800-795-9565 is our toll-free line. As we said, John Gordner feels that some recompense is due for the natural or the nuclear power industry because of the natural gas industry. And why don't they, if it's the natural gas industry that's hurting the nuclear power industry, why don't they make the natural gas industry pay the nuclear power industry to keep their competitors in business?
For years, the airline industry was subsidized to the expense of rail transportation. And the railroads were given all sorts of rules and regulations they had to jump through. And granted, a lot of them were originally formed by robber barons. But there came a point when the pendulum swung the other way, and we really needed to subsidize the railroads to keep everything going. Or if we didn't subsidize them, if we got some of the regulations off their back. I think the same thing's true here. The nuclear industry is so heavily regulated that you can't really breathe, you know. But on the other hand, it can cause a lot of damage if it's left unchecked. So there is a problem here, and I think that to the extent that we've made it expensive for a nuclear power to operate, maybe we do need to consider either getting somewhat off their back or developing standards for the entire industry that work, like France did, or giving them some money.
Well, that makes perfect sense. I don't really have a problem with your reasoning, except the fact that when you enrich a nuclear power company, you enrich the stockholders.
No pun intended.
The staff.
Enriched uranium.
Right. Okay. Well, absolutely. So you increase the amount of uranium that the stockholders and the people who work in the upper echelon, and no pun intended, or the upper echelon of that corporation, get to benefit. So I appreciate what you're saying, and I think if what you're talking about works when the public benefits not only from, you know, keeping the field competitive and so on, but when the public benefits from sort of the profits or maybe costs of electricity are lower because the public were to benefit from it. But you're talking about keeping an industry going that if we do so, the true beneficiaries will be the stockholders of Exelon and Beaver Valley, whoever owns that.
Well, Charles Thompson from Penn Live wrote a very interesting article this morning called "Should Pennsylvanians Pay More to Subsidize TMI and Other Nuclear Plants?" And he points out that supporters of nuclear, which include powers about 40% of Pennsylvania's electric supply, argue it is the best way to buy long-term energy reliability, protection against price surges in one sector of the market or another, and preserve what happens to the biggest provider of zero-emission energy as we intensify the fight against climate change and the greenhouse gases that contribute to it. Then he goes on to point out quite fairly that opponents see themselves as footing the bill and are already lining up to fight it. Handouts to a profitable industry in Pennsylvania that includes a Fortune 100 company will force Pennsylvania residents, businesses, school districts, and others to pay higher electric bills for years, said Michael Peters, president of the Pennsylvania Energy Consumer Alliance, a coalition of businesses, manufacturers, colleges, and other organizations that are heavy electric users.
Okay. Yeah,
so there
fabulous.
It is in a nutshell. You know, if let's face it, if you rely entirely on gas, and the gas companies will be in there applying for rate increases. Come on, you know that will happen. We don't like monopolies in this country. We like there to be diversity. Don't we always talk about diversity on this show?
People diversity, not electricity source diversity.
But it's a good point. You know, the more sources we have of energy, the less dependent on any one of them we are.
Right, and I think that makes a certain amount of sense. I don't think that anything John Gordner said on the radio yesterday was wrong. He didn't say any sort of false statements. He didn't say anything that's absolutely indefensible or anything like that. But I just think the whole energy picture is a little bit more complex than they might be drawing it. And that is because a lot has happened since the nuclear power plants went online. Our demand for electricity is less since the recession. And, of course, that reduced the amount of electricity. Every time you saw an industry close, for example, around here, you saw the electricity. Plus, utilities are spending a lot of effort to make sure that people can save electricity. And there are requirements that new homes have a certain amount of energy savings. So demand is way down, and people are still building natural gas plants because those are the cheapest way to make electricity. So that's the real scenario.
But it's not coming in the form of a cash handout. They're not sending an envelope filled with cash over to Exelon or anyone else.
No, they're making their product more competitive.
The help for nuclear would come in the form of adding nuclear power to a 2004 state law that requires power companies to buy a certain amount of their generation or credits deemed equal to it from carbon-free emission sources. Now, aren't you in favor of that?
Well, I am, but I think in many cases you have to let the free market take hold here, unless you help. Let's suppose, you know, this is funny. Yesterday, the irony sunk in later how much John Gordner was talking about. All of a sudden, they're happy. They're interested in the environment and going carbon free because that's the opposite of what they're interested in the rest of the year.
But who are they? What they are you talking about?
Republicans in Harrisburg and individuals who have been fighting the governor on some reasonable common sense climate changes. Now, I'm not talking about sort of the pie in the sky things that he talks about sometimes, but he talks about a reasonable severance tax that would help go to infrastructure improvements or blight in the U.S. that or in Pennsylvania, that kind of thing. And I think that's worth having that conversation, not some of the other things that he's proposed, you know, like significant increases in the sales tax. But in any event, the fact that the carbon-free aspect of this is supposedly the reason that we're doing it, I think that that's just a misnomer. I think they're getting a lot of money from the nuclear power industry, and in order to serve them, they are going to make sure that the power companies, become more competitive, and I think that's unfair. Let's take a quick break. That's the way to go.
Okay.
We'll take a quick break.
And we have a call coming in.
Yep, so we're good to go. So you can email us at 1-800-795-9565. You can send us a text at 70236, or you can email us at onthemarketwkok.com, or call us at 1-800-795-9565. Should we help the nuclear power industry to be more competitive in the complex electrical field? Pun intended.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
It's the place where you and your honey had date night. It's where you curled up with a blanket and cup of coffee on a cold, lazy morning. It's the place that became your bed when you had the flu. It's the place where your kids jumped up and down on Christmas morning. It's the family meeting place. And from time to time, it's even the dinner table. Well, sort of. It's not just a sofa. Think about how many family memories are tied to it. At Schimox Furniture in Coltmont, we understand that it's not just a piece of furniture. It's your comfort place, your get away from it all spot, and a place you make happy memories that last a lifetime. At Shimox Furniture, you'll find the quality sofas that will lead to hundreds of memories that have yet to be made. They'll take the time to talk with you to find out exactly what you want. And with over 100 years of service to the area, they have the experience to guide you to the perfect addition to your home. So when you want to find the one piece of furniture your whole family will use for years, bring your family to Shimox Furniture on Route 61 in Coltmont. You'll personally experience how at Shimox Furniture we sell happiness and see why they were voted Reader's Choice for Best Furniture Store.
Spring forward with SECV Internet free for 2 months. With speeds up to 1 gig, enjoy faster, smoother streaming and downloading on all of your devices. Sign up today and also get free installation and 2 free months all-in-one wireless cable modem and router. Not sure what speed you need? Let one of our local customer service agents help you find the speed best for you. Get Service Electric Cablevision Internet free for 2 months today. Call now or visit secv.com/speed. Offer ends April 26th.
From floating in a saltwater tank to chowing down on some delicious pierogies, we've had some amazing experiences on In Your Neighborhood. The cool thing is that we've only scratched the surface of what the Central Susquehanna Valley has to offer. So join us as we stop by interesting businesses and organizations or introduce you to one of our many talented residents each month on IYN on SECV 8, exclusively on Service Electric Cable Vision Channels 8 and 508 HD.
Hi, everybody. Steve Jones. Mark Brennan joins us today to talk Penn State football and basketball. 3 to 5 News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Joe and U.S. Or don't check that. State Senator John Gardner yesterday advocated for assisting the nuclear power industry to help it to stay competitive in the very complex electrical generation and retail market. And pretty much everybody else is opposed to the idea because this concept of, you know, why would you help one particular company and their stockholders rather than help other companies?
It's not one particular company. I mean, granted, you can't get past this company, Exelon. I said to you yesterday, take them out of the equation. And then the question becomes, is nuclear power worth preserving as an energy source for us to have, to rely on, you know, and to prevent us from having to rely entirely on gas?
And you say yes.
I do.
Well, you don't even believe
the idea
in climate change.
I don't like the idea of paying $1.50 more on my electric bill a month. You know, and there ought to be some other way to fund it, whether it's by...
Well, you pay my fee then, too, please, since you think it's so worthy.
So now I got to pay $3 a month.
Right.
Your fee and mine.
Plus Rob's. He's a working-class dog like me. We don't have a ton of extra money. So
I'm supposed to take on everybody's expense. Kay. But the whole idea, I mean, you talk about...
It's only $135 a year to bail out nuclear
power. But you support health care for all, which means all of us pay... For a few.
I didn't say that. Oh, boy. 1-800-795-9565. One of our listeners is far better at encapsulating his thoughts. Go right ahead.
He says, one, what happened to the $130 billion spent on the spent nuclear fuel repository in Nevada? The utilities and thus the customers paid for this with no benefit over the past 40 years. Two, PPL got out of the generating business because they couldn't make any money after supporting legislation to deregulate the generation industry. The Susquehanna nuclear plant, along with whatever remaining generation, was sold to Talen, so Talen can make money by cutting costs. Three, now we are supposed to fund the non-competitive business in a competitive environment because they couldn't make money. What happens to free enterprise, price competition, capitalism? This is all because the gas plants are cheap and existing plants can't compete. Look at the power plants at Shamokin Dam, Holtwood, Hunlock Creek, all gone. Well, that's not true. There's a new power plant in Shamokin Dam.
Well,
the coal plant's gone. But
Holtwood is still operating.
There's a gas plant in Shamokin Dam now and possibly another one coming at some point. Nobody paid to keep those plants viable and keep those jobs. Well, you know, people didn't like the idea of coal fire. You were arguing against coal.
Right. Yeah, coal's dirty.
Well, I think we could certainly invest in trying to find a way to clean it up.
It's injuriously dirty.
To whom and how?
It's when you release mercury into the environment deliberately, you injure people.
And you have the names of these people who have been injured?
Yes. Are you ready?
Do. Yes.
You know them, too.
I do?
Everyone.
Everyone.
Okay. No, we have a lot of mercury on the ground in and around Northumberland and Sunbury because of the coal-fired plant in Shamokin Dam. Now, I know it had a lot of good employees there. I think some of the workers there were unionized, and they generated trigawatts of electricity over the decades, and it definitely fulfilled an important role. But we know now that coal releases mercury in the scrubbed smoke that's released, and that it's not good for people, it's not good for the environment. So now that we know that, coal is more expensive.
You remember a few years ago,
if you're going to try to scrub it clean.
Everybody was talking about the hole in the ion layer, and you know we're going to die from increased skin cancer. The hole healed up.
The ozone layer.
I'm sorry. That's what I was talking about. Yeah. What happened to that? You know, we have all these dire predictions about what's going to happen
exacerbated by fluorochlorocarbons that were in aerosols?
Right, and we had to stop putting aerosol cans out.
Right, we did stop. And
that was it, huh? That was the whole thing. We stopped putting that stuff in.
You got me. You can't see it, folks, but I'm holding up my hands saying I have no idea. I remember it was an issue, and I remember it was resolved.
Right. Well, you know, but how was it resolved? At what cost? And was it more natural, or you think that just taking the aerosol out of cans solved the problem?
I don't know. We'll have to ask someone who knows.
Well, I think the issue here is that nuclear power does have some problems, and I agree. What do we do with those rods once they're spent?
Well, it's very costly for the municipalities locally also. They're at great risk, and so they have to ramp up their preparedness.
Well, you know, every year we had that nuclear test up at... What's the name of the plant up there? PPL's plant. Susquehanna Steam Electric Station. Every year we had that emergency test that we had to run. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and we'd actually broadcast it, I think, a few years. You know, so there are provisions for safety, you know, and I think that they are met largely. But any power plant can develop problems. You point out coal could harm the environment, could harm people.
Yeah, but if you run into a dilemma at a coal-fired plant or a natural gas-fired plant, you don't end up with the kind of crises that you do with a nuclear power plant.
Well, suppose the gas line ruptured.
Well, that would be a dilemma.
That would be a pretty big problem.
No, but that's a spot issue. It's called spot news. You know, it's a big dilemma at one location. It could be a massive dilemma, but it's just that location, thousands of people aren't going to die downwind because of natural gas. There's no comparison to the dam. I understand what you're saying, that, you know, incidents can happen anywhere. But I'm saying that because of the high risk of nuclear power, I mean, the amount of regulation that's been imposed and the amount of preparation is phenomenal, involving the plants and all the local municipalities in the state and
PEMA and everything. FEMA. Today, there are regulations for everything. You can't just build something anymore. You have hoops to jump through. You have technical issues to meet. You have safety issues to meet. So, you know, the question is whether or not those are viable concerns.
Okay, read this one right on
top. All right. Dick says, so if I hear this correctly, I will pay this extra for my electric service, a fee for nuclear power that will eventually make my natural gas utility monthly bill increase. Color me stupid.
You are accurately predicting a bright future for your electric bill. So thank you for that. I appreciate
all right,
that.
Well, I'm not denying it will cost.
Cindy, you are on the mark.
Poppycock. That's what I say. Poppycock. This is just utter and complete poppycock. And I'm using that word because it's not in the seven words list. This is just nonsense. You know, Mark is absolutely right. And just consider this. Gas, the natural gas industry, I've noticed regularly, is asking for reductions in rates. Let me repeat that. Reductions in rates to the PUC. And here comes this industry that says, let's not stick just one set of customers. Let's stick them all with as far as the eye can see, added cost to keep us in our cushy chairs. I think not, gentlemen. I think not. If they can't make a viable entity, I'm sympathetic. I was sympathetic to Kmart and to Sears and to JCPenney's and to Bon-Ton. I was sympathetic to Bed Bath & Beyond, sympathetic to Staples, all of them. Even the small local businesses, we've all seen them all, you know, going out of business. I'm sympathetic to all of them. Why should we bail out this one?
Well, I think you're...
And to raise the issue that this is environmentally sound is basically absurd. First of all, in operating, they represent a greater risk even than this gas plant, which could explode. If anybody's been watching television to see these chemical plants exploding, the risk there is still within a finite area. But if a nuclear power plant blows, it's going to take out hundreds of square miles. It's devastating. Kill and or permanently maim thousands of people. and we're going to prop this up. This is just ridiculous.
Should we tear it down?
If they can't make it work, then they should shut it down.
Well, you make it sound like you're against nuclear energy, period, and that we should dismantle all the current plants.
I am against perpetuating a plant that is now no longer able to work of its own abilities, and a company that has played a scheme where they are getting state after state to bail them out. State after state is bailing out this company, buying up these nuclear power plants, and then saying, oh, I can't possibly make it unless you pay for it extra. That's ridiculous. You know, Joe, this is the same, you know, down-the-drain trap that we see. Who created this situation? The politicians. They're down there beating their breasts trying to spare the gas industry from any consequence whatsoever. All these businesses have enjoyed the abolition of the capital stock and franchise tax. They got a huge tax break. Nobody likes to talk about that, but that's true. And yet that's not enough. Now that isn't even enough, and they're trying to reduce the taxes on businesses again here, the governor. And on top of that, they want me to pay them money for nothing. I get nothing from this.
But this bill also promotes sources such as solar, wind, hydropower, and geothermal. By adding nuclear, all it does is add nuclear to the Tier 3 category along with those other sources of energy. And electric companies would have to get 50% of their power or buy credits to match that generation from Tier 3 sources. They wouldn't necessarily have to buy nuclear. They could buy solar, wind, hydropower, or geothermal. It just gives you the chance to buy nuclear as well.
Well, nothing stops me from doing that, Joe.
No, I'm talking about the companies, the purchasing of electricity,
right.
Even the grid.
Listen, all the enthusiasts like you who want to bail out this company, cut them a check. As much as you can afford, I urge you. If you think that it's important to save CMI, and
Joe can afford a lot.
Because you're from that area, you know, you live down there in Harrisburg, et cetera, it may seem important to you to retain that. By God, Joe, write them a check. You know, just why is it that all of these advocates, rather than using their own dollars to do these things, think they ought to come get mine? Think they ought to come get the middle class?
Misery loves company.
You know who's going to pay this bill? People who can't even figure out how to pay for dinner tomorrow will see an interest. They're going to see their electric rate go up just like everybody else. And then I'm going to hear, you know, please, this is the irony of all of this.
Okay, but Cindy,
we subsidize through LIHEAP people getting heat. Largely, those are electric customers, I would assume, right? So now, that money, which is a finite amount, some of it's going to be consumed doing what? Bailing out the nuclear industry, because those people will see their costs go up, and that will take tax dollars to rescue it.
But with this Tier 3 category,
all the schools are going to see that go up. And so that's going to take tax dollars there again to rescue it. All the hospitals will see their costs go up. And that's going to cause an added burden on everyone who consumes health care. And they'll be coming for the bailout of the electric increased bailout. You know, and all of this, you know who I point to for crediting this? Our legislators. They get in here and they dabble in these things and think they can make them great, and they create these maelstroms, and who gets consumed by the storm? Taxpayers and ratepayers, who end up bailing out these nonsense things that these legislators conjure up as they cater to these powerful industries.
Well, let's say we don't add them to the Tier 3 category.
We have to put a hold on.
We're still bailing
out
solar, wind, hydropower, and geothermal. We're bailing them out anyway.
Hold on to that.
Part of this.
And hold on, buddy. Boy, where do I go? Bobby, you have to hold on. Rob's doing a fabulous job. We're going to have news headlines when we come back. And you're listening to On the Mark on News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. Joe's got a lot to say.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence, and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome back to the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on The Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Joe is here. Rob is here. Bobby's waiting. We have open phones right now. We got 3 emails, 6 texts, and
a partridge in a pear tree.
One caller, yes, and a partridge in a pear tree, right? No argument there. All right, On The Mark brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company. It's a family-owned dealership since 1915. What does that mean? Well, that means one individual family, the Mertz family, has owned the Sunbury Motor Company and its many accoutrements over the years, and that means that they are accountable. You know where they might live. You talk to them. You can go see some of the Mertzes down at the Sunbury Motor Company. They'll talk to you. You can go down to the restaurant and talk to them as well, but mostly they're interested in making sure that if you're interested in a brand-new pre-owned vehicle or a brand-new vehicle, that you go to 4th Street in Sunbury or Routes 11 and 15 in Holmes Wharf. They got the Kia dealership over there, and in Sunbury, they got the Fords, the Hyundais, and the Lincolns, and I'll tell you what, super vehicles, super prices, they just love to negotiate. So they're natural-born talkers, and they would just love to make sure that you are aware and that they're going to give you a good deal. If it's a pre-owned vehicle, they're going to give you the Carfax. They're going to show you lots of fixtures before you even go down there, or they'll show them on the web, and that if you can't find what you want on the lot, maybe a brand-new vehicle is in order, and if you can't do that, they're going to help you build a Ford, Hyundai, Kia, or Lincoln to your precise specifications. That's what a family does for customers, and that's what they will do for you at the Sunbury Motor Company. They wish to super serve you, and that's the way they operate. And please check it out at sunburymotors.com. They are the umbrella sponsor, the Sunbury Motor Company, on The Mark Show. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. The toll-free line is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. You can email us at onthemark@wdkok.com or text us at 70236. Sign up for Text Connect at wdkok.com. We send you, probably lately, it's been about 6 messages a month of breaking national or local news, closed roads, or tornadic weather, you name it, they would send you an important bulletin from the newsroom. So avail yourself of that. Some brief news headlines. More details out from Stonington State Police on that crash earlier this week on Route 61. High-speed wreck critically injured 20-year-old Jacob Pontius of Sealands Grove. He's still in Geisinger. After a tour of Shamokin Wednesday, Governor Tom Wolf says he'd like to give some of the Restore Pennsylvania money from a severance tax on natural gas to Shamokin.
And this city, like so many other older cities, boroughs, around Pennsylvania, has great bones. Look at these buildings that look on the verge of not being so great. What amazing architecture. And it has a form that people really like.
Yeah, the gas tax is, though, the way to go, says the governor of the natural gas tax. A Montandon area home was damaged by a fire early Wednesday evening. No injuries on Ridgeview Colony Road. Fire Chief James Blunt and William Cameron says they had a massive amount of assistance from local volunteers. The new Northumberland County prison does not have sufficient staff.
The inmates are very much aware of their surroundings. So if you're there constantly, my concern would be if something were to break out and these guys are so tired, the inmates know that.
And that is a parent of one of the employees of the new Northumberland County Prison, says they're working up to 80 hours a week. Philadelphia is beginning its municipal identification program, allowing the homeless, those in the country illegally, and young people to obtain photo ID cards. Starting today, people can apply for the city ID, which costs $5 to $10 and is free to individuals over the age of 65. Philadelphia joins New York, Chicago, San Francisco, and other cities offering such cards, which can be used as an ID within the city to access city buildings. Supporters view them as a boon to people without licenses and an alternative for those without valid ID cards. Opponents say such cards can give people illegally in the U.S. access to services which they are not entitled. Immigration advocates have voiced concerns about the use of personal information required, but officials say no copies of documents are retained. And thanks to climate change, they got a dilemma in Washington, D.C., although Joe would deny this. Officials are claiming that Washington's iconic cherry blossom trees are under a looming threat, which requires action. Decades of wear and tear from foot traffic, combined with rising sea levels, thanks to climate change, and deteriorating seawalls. It's created a chronic flooding problem at the tidal basin. The man-made 107-acre reservoir is home to the highest concentration of cherry blossom trees, but may soon have to be moved to higher ground. Are you happy now?
Oh, another dire prediction.
1-800-795-9565. One individual talked about natural gas rates, saying that they're stable for the moment, but one of our listeners sent us a note.
Says on Monday, January 28th, 2019, UGI Gas has requested an overall distribution rate increase of $71.1 million per year, or 8.9%, which will be recovered from customers served at each of the three rate districts of UGI Gas.
Including around here.
And then someone says, not true, UGI just asked for a rate increase.
Well, that's the same individual saying the same thing.
Saying it's not true. That they
no,
just
that
asked
it
for
is
rate
true.
Increase. Okay.
Right. Well, yeah, it's not true that gas rates are stable.
Look, and I didn't get a chance to say this because we were going off and Cindy was making her point. But this bill that they're proposing, and again, I don't like the idea of subsidizing anything, but there's a certain point and certain logic to this. This that would just add nuclear to the Tier 3 list of electric suppliers.
Which companies are forced to utilize.
Right, including solar, wind, hydropower, and geothermal that are already in there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if we're going to stop subsidizing nuclear, let's get them out of there, too. And if wind and solar can't compete, just as nuclear can't compete, let them die.
So if you're not concerned about carbon or climate, they shouldn't be in there either, right?
Carbon and climate, you want nuclear. Carbon, you want nuclear.
But don't you think...
Come on, you're back into a corner here, admit it.
Just listen. If you carve out a bigger slot for nuclear, you're going to push the other carbon, the actual renewables, off the edge of the page there.
We're adding them to the mix. We're adding nuclear to the mix.
You're propping up an old industry.
Come on.
I'm glad you weren't
it.
Around in Mifflinburg around the 1900s, because you'd still be subsidizing $1.50 per month for every motorist to support the buggy industry. Bobby, you are on the mark.
You're a riot over there, buddy.
Okay, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Okay, as I listen to the radio and, you know, okay, I can follow Cindy with preserving jobs, and I can definitely identify with Joe because of being an engineer. But, as you know, I've been around the industry, and I've been in operational maintenance and master control and Mr. Fix-It, and also maintenance operation. And I don't care what you have, it has to be maintained to keep operating. Now, I did work at PP&L, the Susquehanna plant, for two different outages.
Oh.
And, you know, they did the proper maintenance, but to do that, they shut down one of the reactors and then hired extra staff to come in and get it out of the way as quick as they could, and it was like redoing the plumbing system. So, I mean, there's a tremendous amount of labor, you know, to maintain nuclear, but okay, versus their coal plants, and of course we have what, gas engines, I mean, that, you know, for our cars and generators and whatever, so they're all producing power in one way or another, and everything has to be maintained. So there I agree with Joe, because why single out one way of power versus all of them? So, I mean, but, you know, to keep things operating and maintained, okay, now we're looking at batteries, okay, and the type of batteries that you can buy, whether they're alkalines or last for 10 years. Now, my nephew is in the Navy and aboard the nuclear aircraft carriers. They have a battery, so to speak, lifetime of 25 years.
What?
I'm talking like the react. I mean, that would be for the nuclear aircraft carrier. So every 25 years, they have to decide. You know, are yeah. I mean, the different boats, destroyers, submarines, and all that have. I mean, I look at the nuclear as like a battery. It's not really a battery, but its lifetime is 25 years versus all your coal plants, gas. I mean, all your sources of energy. But the operation and Three Mile Island definitely did not maintain the plant like they should have. Otherwise, that wouldn't have happened.
All right. But, well, good points. Jeez.
When I started at WKOK, that transmitter and, all the TV stations and everything, operational maintenance has to be done to keep something in working order, and the safety and the emissions and getting your car tuned up. Speaking of, emission control, which is basically the issue on one side of the fence, I mean, in every source of energy that All we right. have should be maintained. So I agree with Joe in that respect that, yes, why single out
one industry.
Part of
sure.
energy?
All right, we got you. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you.
Yep, appreciate that. Boy, that was pretty complex. A lot going on there about nuclear power and batteries and everything, but we appreciate that. All right, 1-800-795-9565. Let's sift through some of these messages.
All right, Bob says, good morning. We have windmills and are putting up solar panels to help the climate. We use electric heat for our house because it's clean and affordable. When the sun shines, we get free heat through our windows and doors. What other source of heat is our fireplaces, which use gas or propane gas. I think oil should only be used for cars and trucks. We are taking oil out of the center of the earth that I believe is in there to keep our planet safe from huge problems yet to be seen. Signed, thanks, Bob.
All right. Thank you very much. In response to me saying that Holtwood was still open, I was, as always, half right.
Yes, that's true
typically
enough.
Typically half wrong.
PP&L tore down the Holtwood steam generating plant in 1999 after spending millions on boiler improvements in 1986. The hydro plant is still operating. He says, discuss the $140 billion that the taxpayers paid for the non-existent Yucca Mountain spent nuclear fuel repository in Nevada. Instead, highly radioactive spent fuel is piled up in bunkers behind every nuclear plant out in the open. Money well spent? So what did happen to that Yucca Mountain facility? Did the people in Nevada not want it?
I do not know what happened to it. I think it's still somewhat pending.
And then another writer says,
I'm sorry.
Under no circumstances should the nuclear industry in Pennsylvania be bailed out in any amount for any reason. We are being extorted by Exelon with scare tactics and bullying. Exelon considers Pennsylvania a cash cow, and now they want to milk us even more. Ratepayers have had their electric bills go up whenever state governments have knuckled under to the nuclear lobby and bailed them out. There's no reason the free market can't sort out the problems that Exelon is having. It is not the ratepayers' fault that Exelon is losing money on some reactors. It is Exelon's own fault for bad management, and it's not the ratepayers' responsibility to open their wallets to give Exelon the profit they seek. Pennsylvania already has some of the highest electric rates in the country, courtesy of the PAPUC, and the inability or unwillingness of the legislature to protect the ratepayer. If they allow a bailout of Exelon or any other nuclear company, they will be betraying every ratepayer in the Commonwealth. Sign the petition, stop the nuclear bailout. Signed, Tom.
And he sent us a link. This is probably one of those groups, nonukebailoutpa.com. That's nonukebailoutpa.
Okay, then would you agree with me? Then let's stop all bailing out. Let's not subsidize the other forms of electric energy.
Well, I think if you want to progress and fight climate change, there are some things you should consider. But bailing out unprofitable, outdated horse and buggy technology isn't
nuclear
one of them.
Nuclear power isn't horse and buggy. We have an entire Navy that runs on nuclear power. You suggest we go back to sails?
Really? So if it is so sophisticated and modern, why is it operating in the red since 2015?
Well, I think because of the fact that we piled so much regulation on them, as well we should.
Oh, geez. You
used the right word earlier, recompense. Yeah. We've done harm to the industry. What happens if we put this extraction tax on gas? What do you think is going to happen? You think the gas industry is going to just say, we'll absorb this cost? Or are they going to go out and try and get even more rate increases?
One of our texters says, Harry Reid, stop the Yucca Mountain Fuel Repository. Remember that? that crooked Democrat. Same texter also says this.
Philadelphia is once again breaking the law by giving illegals ID cards. Next, they'll be voting illegally if they aren't already. Wolf is sure making a lot wrong with a lot of promises with money he doesn't have. Typical leftist, he wants to subsidize alternative energy and tax natural gas extraction out of existence. What's wrong with that picture?
Yeah, that's it. Okay.
You know, the governor is spending that money. Everywhere he goes, he's dropping little breadcrumbs about spending this money.
I know he's going to spend $30 million on the island between Northumberland and Sunbury on the
marina. He's
going to
help Shamokin. Yesterday he was helping Shamokin with it.
That's a $7 million project. It's only $100 million. So.
I mean, he's like Santa Claus roaming the state handing out gifts that haven't been paid for.
All right, we're going to take a quickie break. Dale, stand by. We'll take more comers on the news line. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number, and that's the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line.
Hometown, such a warm and friendly word, a place of comfort, confidence, and friendship. And as the song goes, everybody knows your name. In today's culture of fast food service and big box mentality, it's nice to know that we can still rely on the warm and friendly comfort of Hometown Pharmacy. There's one near you. Friendly, knowledgeable staff that not only know you by name, but know your meds and know what's best for you, right down to the over-the-counter meds for those quick day-in, day-out situations that may arise. Your Hometown Pharmacy. That hometown feel that we all want. Hometown pharmacies, like the Lewisburg Pharmacy, North 2nd Street, Lewisburg. Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Route 35, Mount Pleasant Mills. In Mifflinburg, it's Trutz Pharmacy on Chestnut Street. Bloomsburg, it's the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop on Market Street. And the Norrie Pharmacy, Duke Street, Northumberland. Your hometown is calling you. Your independent hometown pharmacy. Every season, every day.
There we go. The computer needed a little me time. That's all. All right. 1-800-795-9565. One of our listeners reads that highlighted message.
He says, P.S. In the nuclear industry, Exelon is referred to as the evil empire.
Good morning, Dale. Tell us about the evil empire.
I just wanted to let people know global warming was probably being pushed by our government.
What?
Since it's being pushed every day on the news, okay, because there's a problem where Saudi Arabia now is accepting foreign currencies for their crude oil. So basically, the banks are pulling their investments out of Saudi Arabia and pushing the taxpayers' dollars, which basically the biggest investors in this country are the working class, and they're pushing it towards crude oil. So hopefully our government leaves us enough money to keep our lights on. So,
wow. Good point. Most people wouldn't think of that.
If you look into it without burying your head into it, just stand back and look at the picture, because basically the dollar is backed by crude oil. Okay. So I don't know if you can say our government is lying to us or pulling a fast one, but whatever you keep getting pounded with, Every day, whatever you keep getting pounded with is what they want you to believe. So just understand that. So it seems like Saudi Arabia jumped 20 years ahead of us and started investing heavily using our dollar to invest in clean and renewable energy.
Well, we gave them the dollar. They didn't steal it. We gave it to them.
How did we give it to them? Because they're
gasoline
now
money.
The central bank.
Oh, good point. Okay, well, I hadn't thought about that.
Mark, understand.
Get with it, Mark.
When they told the United States, you know, what do we get out for backing our oil with the dollar, okay? You know what they told them? You're part of the central bank. That's what they told them. They gave them a membership.
You're kidding me.
Understand that? That's why they get away with murder and all like that. Don't you understand that? Well, you don't think that's true?
I think it's true.
You think that they made that deal just for, like, promises, empty promises? No, they gave him a seat on the central bank. That's exactly what happened, Mark.
All right, we got
now,
you.
Now, basically, I'm
noted.
Just telling you, hopefully our government leaves us enough money to pay our life.
Thank you, sir.
That'd be all we pay.
Joe, start at the check mark and go up.
Yes, I know where to go here. You've told me, made it quite clear. Cindy is right. Why does the government continue to pick the pockets of the middle class for large corporations? Is there enough alternative energy sources for electric companies to use 50% of alternatives? Do the alternatives generate enough kilowatts to meet demand, or will the state have us have rolling brownouts like California, or even worse, blackouts like Venezuela?
All right,
you know, the simple answer is to cut them all off. Let them survive or
just
rise or
eliminate
fall on
any assistances. Don't help
to
people
power,
to buy
sure.
electric vehicles. No solar panels.
No, get rid of all of it. Your whole argument is if market can't sustain it, let it go.
Plus, if you received any sort of a subsidy related to energy in the last 10 years, you have to pay it back. Would you like that?
Well, no, but remember, on this deal we're talking about now, if those companies take a dime, they've got a guarantee to be in business for 6 years.
Oh, my gosh.
Joe. Under the law, the state, the law being considered.
The person we know as the other Joe, you're on the mark.
Oh, good morning. Mark, you made me laugh just now a little bit ago when you said nuclear power. I think I got it right, is outdated and unprofitable. But the second part might be true. But how long do you think wind power and solar and geothermal have been around? I mean, I literally laughed that we haven't made it profitable from the beginning, and how, you know, we're trying to now, but they've been around a lot longer than nuclear power.
Okay.
And we haven't perfected it into where we run our electrical demand from any of those or a combination of all of them.
Well, so, Mark's going to have the United States Navy turn off all those nuclear reactors in our ships and put up sails again.
We're going to run on batteries. Bobby told us about
that. I laughed, but I thought that was kind of funny that you said that nuclear is outdated. Well, the others have been around a lot longer than nuclear. But anyhow, one of the ideas, I'm not for bailing out anything, but do we remember Solyndra from the Obama administration, where they subsidized a solar plant?
And what happened?
And they went bankrupt.
They went broke.
What?
After we pumped
went broke.
Millions into it.
We gave them $500 million to spend on. Anyhow, I mean, anybody can comment on that, but I did like to get a laugh this morning from you.
All right. Hey, I'm there for you, buddy. You know that.
You want to hear funny ideas, keep listening to Mark.
Hey. All right. Thank you, Joe. Thanks for calling in. All right. One more text is waiting.
Says, a question to all fossil fuel haters. If the good Lord didn't want these fuels to be used, why did he allow them to be created and allow man to discover how to extract and use them? Isn't mercury a naturally occurring element? If so, what purpose does it serve? Remember, the good Lord created all the elements. So? Your response, Mr. Lawrence?
Oh, my gosh. I think because because sin is in the world, that's why we discovered coal.
So you think coal is a sin?
The misuse of the creation that God gave us, improper creation care is a sin. Allowing mercury to be released into your environment.
I don't recall Moses bringing that one down from the mount.
It's there. It's the 11th. It's the 11th energy-related commandment.
Maybe we need to send Moses back up there to see if we can come down with some updated Ten Commandments.
Joe, what's the bottom line?
Well, the bottom line here is it's probably not a good idea to bail out a company like Exelon, and I would rather they not be involved in the equation. But I do think there is a value to preserving nuclear energy. Look how successful it's been in the Navy. Seriously, all of our ships, our submarines, nuclear-powered. You know, and it's been proven to be very effective, very economical, and very reliable. So we have a source of energy that we know we can depend upon. Yes, there are risks involved with it, but our ships aren't blowing up every day. Our submarines aren't going down every day because of the nuclear reactors in them, are they?
I haven't heard of any at all.
And France has proven that you can standardize the nuclear energy and make it safe and reliable and profitable.
So you say the regulation in France is that private companies build the plants, but they must build a certain type.
To a certain standard, yes.
Okay, they don't
vary. My understanding, right.
Okay.
They have a standard plan, and if you're going to build a nuclear power plant, that's what you build. So that the people at plant A could move to plant B tomorrow and plant C the next day. and know what they're dealing with.
Okay, but you don't see the irony in the fact that you have, I think it's 8 nuclear power plants in Pennsylvania, and they're all in the black, and they're all making good money.
No, like two of them are in the
black. Hold on. They're all making good money, including the Susquehanna Steam Electric Station near Berwick. They're all doing fine, except two. So all of a sudden we're like, oh, we must bail out the nuclear power industry. $1.50 from everybody, please.
No, I don't want to bail them out, but I don't see any harm in adding them to the list. Maybe we want to argue about the percentage. 50% might be too much, maybe 30%, the amount that you have to buy from renewables. Right, but I see no harm in having nuclear added to that list.
Preserving the industry, but Exelon is like a holding company. They go in there and they buy low-priced nuclear power plants that are already near the march, and then they operate them in the black, and then they seek a bailout. That's a bad business model.
Well, if that's their business model, then don't let them get away with it.
But
do you throw the whole industry out because there's one bad apple?
Negative, but you don't need to. If they operate efficiently and wisely and within government regulation with the right number of reactors, that makes it profitable. One of the things Exelon said is that just having one nuclear reactor there hurt them at TMI because...
Well, yeah, the other one melted.
well, that's true. That really hurt them. But the fact is, though, that other nuclear power plants continue to produce revenue while they're having either scheduled or unplanned outages.
And they can't do that.
Right, but they don't get to do that.
But they knew that when they bought it.
Well,
so,
yeah.
I mean, I don't give them any particular credit for that.
That's why they bought it. It was actually at a yard sale in Middletown, and somebody said, this is a TMI. Would you like it?
Yeah, what was it? GPU was the utility that owned it originally?
Right. Oh, good
I remember
memory.
A friend of mine who's now passed on when they, after the nuclear power, after the accident at Three Mile Island, their stock was down to like $2 or $3, and he bought some. Saying it's got to come back up sooner or later.
Oops. Okay. Well, that didn't come back up, and guess what?
They went out of business.
And he's not coming back up either. All right, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. If you'd like to get in the last word about the nuclear power opportunity to assist them, I don't want to call it a bailout because it's such a cockamamie plan. It doesn't really bail them out. It just unhinges the energy field. This is something you can comment on right now. You have to do it immediately. 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemarketwkok.com, or you can do like Stan has done a half a dozen times today and a couple of times yesterday. Text us at 70236.
You got to get one of those, Mark.
What's that?
I'm giving health advice. A teeter hang-up.
A teeter hang-up. So inversion therapy.
Inversion
right?
therapy, right. Helps
down.
Your back.
You hang yourself by your ankles?
Yes, and then you're upside down,
and it helps
it takes
your back.
The pressure off your back.
Yeah, my back is sore today.
I know. I've seen it on the internet. It must be true.
My back?
the inversion therapy.
All right.
Mike Bolick says, on the subject of energy use in Pennsylvania, I heard the governor released a statement or made a speech about taxing natural gas to help bail out places like Shamokin. I burn natural gas to heat my house and heat my water. I would like to see Shamokin get help, but I don't want to pay more for my natural gas to help isolated pockets of poverty.
Let me stop you right there. Natural gas companies say they do not pass on the severance tax to other people. That goes towards their profits, in the corporate profits, shareholders, and that sort of thing. I don't think they're allowed to pass it on to ratepayers. So that's my two cents. My dilemma is, if you're a gas company and it costs you $20 a cubic foot to get the gas, you might not pass that portion along, but you'll pass something else on to the customers. But in any event, just to clarify.
We digress.
Yes.
He says, it just seems every time the state needs money to help schools, build bridges, or help poverty-stricken municipalities, the governor always wants to hit up natural gas.
He's spent this severance tax 5 times over.
Yes, he has. I mean, he's just, like I said, Santa Claus roaming the state, promising people large sums of money.
Restore.
The last time we had a governor like that, he was a very affable man named Ed Rendell.
Oh.
But Ed actually did deliver some of the money he promised to dispense.
You remember Ed Rendell? Okay, well, yeah, never mind. That wasn't that long ago. But Milton Schaap, what kind of a Democrat was he, other than corrupt?
Well, I don't think he was corrupt. I actually ran his radio station for 3 years.
Oh, no kidding. Tell me about that.
Well, he used to own the radio station I ran before I came here. He was part owner of WHJB and WOKU in Greensburg.
Okay.
And I talked to him quite often.
Okay.
I thought he was a very nice man.
I only know two sentences about it, but I thought the legacy of his administration was that
there were some problems
issues.
With his administration. I don't think he was personally crooked, but it's been a long time. It may have. I remember saying to him once that he reminded me of Warren G. Harding, who said, "It's not my enemies that keep me walking the floor at night. It's my friends, my blank, blank friends."
All right, 1-800-795-9565. We have some open phones.
So what do you think about Georgia?
Well, I think it's time for Hollywood to get involved.
Oh, well, they already are. Alyssa Milano and her crew are pushing against Georgia's heartbeat bill, which they've enacted. And the governor, despite all the pressure from a group of actors and actresses who say that if he signs this bill, they won't perform in Georgia anymore.
Right, so no movies will be made in Georgia.
Well, and ironically, Alyssa Milano's show that she has on one of the cable networks is actually shot in Atlanta, Georgia. So her threat might actually carry some economic impact. But it bans almost all abortions after a fetal heartbeat can be detected. Now, there are exceptions. They are health of the mother, rape, and incest.
So let me see if I have this right. They think it's murder if you kill a child in the womb, but it's okay to murder the child if it's a victim of rape?
Huh?
Or if it's the offspring of a rape?
Rape, health of the mother, or incest.
So then the murder is justified. So the baby, whenever a rape occurs and the woman gets pregnant, the death penalty is given to the kid.
Well, that's better than a death penalty being given to the kid just because the mother doesn't want it.
Well, I don't agree with that characterization in the first place.
I don't agree with your characterization.
It's pretzel logic to me. But anyway, okay, we'll continue reading because this is a big deal.
Well, the so-called heartbeat bill would prohibit most abortions in the state of Georgia after a heartbeat is detected, which can come as early as 6 weeks, before many women know they're pregnant. It would not apply in the case of rape, incest, or if the life of the mother is in danger. But Georgia State Representative Dominic LaRicchia, a Republican, confronted Milano outside of Kemp's office and asked which Georgia district she votes in. She replied she's currently working in the state but does not live there, so they aren't really concerned about her opinion. And the governor says, "I can't govern because I'm worried about what someone in Hollywood thinks about me. I ran the last 2 years on these issues, and I got elected, the largest number of votes in the history of the state of Georgia, and I'm doing what I told the people I would do."
Oh, he's the Fred Keller of Georgia. 1-800-795-9565 is our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line. Do you think Georgia should impose a heartbeat bill? Earlier today, we talked about nuclear power and should we change the competitive field so that certain businesses have an unfair advantage. What's your view on this, Stan?
No.
All righty. That works out.
No, if they can't survive on their own, they, you know, go out of business. Now, if a nuclear plant goes out of business, like 3 Mile Island, what are they going to do with the nuclear waste?
They'd have to ship it. There are places they can ship it.
Where are they going to ship it to?
Yeah, where?
There's storage facilities.
Yucca Mountain Close isn't open because, you know, the Democrats and Harry Reid said, no, we're not going to do that in Nevada. We can't have that out in the middle of the desert and nothing, that there's nothing around for, you know, 100,
well,
200 miles.
Exxon didn't say they're going to abandon the site and turn it back into a picturesque island. They just say they're going to shut down the nuclear reactors and mothball it. So it's not going to be operating. But I don't think, you know, you'll see a demolition, you know, like of a grand scale where everything has to go someplace else. But if they do, Exelon has half a dozen other nuclear power plants.
So what benefit is it allowing a plant to sit there and rot?
Well, I don't think there is any advantage. They should take it down to back to the, they should turn it back to an island.
The plant itself doesn't concern me. You know, it is what it is. It's that spent nuclear fuel sitting there that's still highly radioactive that, you know, I'm assuming they're going to have tight security around the whole plant, even though it's producing nothing for them. They're going to have to.
Mm-hmm.
Either that or they're going to have to move it to one of their other facilities and store it there, which I don't think they'll do neither.
Okay.
Well, they own it. It's their responsibility to clean it up or to take it down. I think what they'd rather do is make it profitable, and so they're looking for a bailout. But not just for them, but for the entire industry.
Yeah.
Well, but stop and think for a minute. Is it worthwhile having nuclear power as an alternative source or a source of energy, number one? And if we're going to not subsidize it, should we also not subsidize wind, solar, geothermal, and hydroelectric?
Yes, that shouldn't subsidize. If they can make it on their own, they should make it. You know, the stuff's been around for years. You know, they keep getting money from the government. I'm thinking that slows down their development, you know, research, because, hey, we're getting money. Why should we be in a hurry for it?
I'd like to know how much Exelon has donated to the campaign chests, war chests of all these people in Harrisburg.
Follow the dollars. Isn't that
permitted.
Usually the answer?
No, corporate contributions aren't permitted.
But they give their money to a PAC, and the PAC gives it to the candidate. Or they run ads on their behalf. All right, Stan.
Well, time will tell. But all right, by the way, Melissa Milano is a twit, so other than that, you know, I got nothing else to say about her.
Okay, well, we'll look that up. All right, thank you so much, Stan. Appreciate the call.
Thanks
for being such a good egg. We appreciate all his, he's a texter. He's a super fast texter. So we appreciate that. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. It's an open phone.
All right, we have one other comment on this. I've also read how natural gas at the wholesale price doesn't get passed on to taxes, but if you look at your bill, it can be included with the distribution charge. Nobody sells anything at retail that doesn't pass on the expenses, including taxes. That's an economic fantasy by taxaholics.
Well, that's why what I said, the gas company says they don't pass on the severance tax, but if all of their expenses go up, they get to raise their rate. So if they
have
less revenue...
to the PUC to do it.
Right. So, yeah, Mike is 100% right, as always. One more email, then we take a break. Go ahead. Read it slowly because we have a minute.
Until the federal government opens a permanent repository, all power plant fuel waste will be kept outside under protection forever.
All right. Thank you. Sent from my iPad. All right. We'll take, again, last-minute callers on this topic, 1-800-795-9565. We also talked about Georgia's abortion law, the heartbeat law. It's an opportunity for you to weigh in on that important issue. It's been in the national news, so we'll take all comers. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com. And now a word from our umbrella sponsor, the Sunbury Motor Company.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. Go ahead, Chris. You're on the mark.
Hey. Well, Joe is talking about the nuclear industry not being able to breathe because of regulation. Well, I think clearly it needs a lot of regulation. And it's so we can breathe that we have the regulation.
Well said.
And they've gotten a lot of most of the research on nuclear stuff was done by the government, and they got that free. I believe there's no patent. The government doesn't patent things and then charge people to use it. So and they had tax breaks, and they had insurance underwriting through the government because no private company would insure against the nuclear plant. The nuclear plant, because of the damage could be so great if one went, and the government underwrote that or made laws so they could operate anyway.
Okay.
So they've gotten a lot of benefits right along. On the other hand, I believe that they have a trust fund for cleaning up the plants, and shutting down the plant will end the trust fund. Also, the company is responsible for any fees for cleaning, for decommissioning that go over the estimated price of the trust fund. But it looks to me like they're buying plants, and if they have to go bankrupt, then they go bankrupt, and guess who's left holding the bill then, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that doesn't take too much imagination, does it?
No, we'll have to have a real bailout.
All those things are considerations.
Okay.
Now, they're trying to outlaw abortion, and they think they can get it down extra few months by doing the heartbeat. But it's a purely arbitrary thing. If you could hear a heartbeat, it's a human life, and therefore you can't do it. I mean, that's totally arbitrary. How big of microphone and amplification do you use?
Is it totally arbitrary to bury people when they don't have a heartbeat?
I don't understand that question.
Well, yeah,
you
should, because you're saying it's arbitrary to say that someone's alive or something's alive when you hear a heartbeat.
No,
but when you don't hear one,
saying the fetus, whether you call it life or not, I think I don't believe in forced birth.
Well, there are exceptions to this: health of the mother, incest.
Yeah, I don't believe in forced birth, though.
Okay.
If you're a woman's pregnant, I don't believe you condemn her to pregnancy.
All right, we'll give you the last word. Go right ahead, Chris.
But, you know, it's not like she had no part in it, Chris. It's not like she's been condemned to it. She made a choice to participate in the activity that could lead to it.
So what?
Well, so that there are consequences. You always say to me, actions have consequences.
You say that a lot, too, but you don't follow it either.
Well, all right, we're both hypocrites.
Now, see, all of a sudden you're for the France system where the government actually dictates what kind of nuclear plant you get. That would be a violation of all competition. How we will ever approve nuclear plants? You'd be railing against that in your free enterprise mythology.
All right.
No,
but now you're for it, just like you're for the...
No.
All of a sudden Republicans are now... All concerned about carbon when they can try to get extra money for nuclear plants.
Excellent
point. It's your convenience.
You got that wrong. Yesterday, you got that wrong. Yesterday, somebody called in and said, I was a socialist when it came to power, and Mark was the conservative.
All right. Thank you so much, Chris. I appreciate the call. One of the people sends me a note, says, I'm siding with Mark 100% about abortion. If a fetus is considered special enough to forbid women from having an abortion, why is it different if it's the product of rape or incest? It has to be one way or the other. You can't have it both ways. Either it's a life that needs protection, or it does not, says Margaret.
Well, no, but you're missing the important distinction there. In those instances, the woman wasn't a willing participant in the action that led to the pregnancy.
Bob, you're on the mark.
Morning. A couple of things. I went by the radio while you said something about hanging upside down, about something, a side note.
I was telling him about teeter hang-ups. I saw an ad on TV about this guy who's supposedly in his 70s, and he hangs himself upside down in a device every day, and it's taken the pressure off his back.
Yeah, I agree with that. I have one for 30 years.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Called inversion machine.
Yeah, that's it, an inversion machine.
Okay.
It sends the new blood to your head to clean out all the dirt in there. It makes you fresher. It makes you taller, by the way, they understand. The other thing, I was watching PCN the other
night. Mark definitely is a candidate.
And they said if they shut down 3 Mile, they have X number of years to put the site back to its original state.
Oh, my gosh. What was there before? Who knew?
Well, just Plain Island, I guess.
Okay. Gotcha.
That's somewhere in the law somehow. So that's why they're trying to avoid that.
All right.
And the other thing is, we're talking immigration and illegal and whatever. I have no problem with anybody that comes across the right way. The asylum people come over, they get documented, and they're supposed to report in 6 months. Well, they don't see them again, right? My question is, number one, there was a man called a couple of weeks ago. His wife wasn't. And she went to get her citizenship, and first thing they asked her is, can they help you financially? And he said no, because she was going to do it on her own. So we're supporting all these people on our welfare program, the wall, and then shutting down the Mexican border and whatever. Does it really cost as much? Did you realize how many people we're paying welfare for and for how long in their life? And my other comment is, all of these children and adults that are coming through this country, I bet, do not have any shots whatsoever. And we do have an outbreak of measles and mumps again flaring up. And they said TB was on a slight increase again. I'm done. Go ahead.
All right. Okay. Thank you very much. Yeah, appreciate the call. Yeah, there are factors in the immigration discussion.
Dale.
Enjoy your retirement lengthened weekend.
Okay, I will. Are you going? Are you ending the show early?
No, I'm just, before I forget, I want to tell people that tomorrow the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce will be checking in. We'll, of course, analyze the jobless numbers on the first half hour of the show. We are going to hear from Brian Elsasser again, an investment expert, talking about how to ride out some of the roller coaster ride on Wall Street lately. And we're going to hear from about an upcoming chamber event. So we'll be talking about that tomorrow. And Ben Reichle is going to be back. Dale, we are going to give you the last word. Go right ahead. You're on.
Yeah, if you know history and how it repeats itself as well, the Romans' currency was going bad globally. People started turning to stale money. And then 10 years before it collapsed, or 20 years, they were saying the sky's falling. And that's the truth. So I'm wondering if right now we're 10% inflation, and if Saudi Arabia's cutting a deal with China selling the oil, and if inflation hits 15%, are we going to revoke Donald Trump's passport and his family?
Oh, excellent idea. That's a super question. All right. Thank you so much, Dale. Good follow-up.
You know, that job you're fired, then maybe we need to look at that.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for checking in. Any big plans in the coming 3 days? Anything good?
Relax.
Oh, okay.
Going to see Pet Cemetery tomorrow with my son.
Oh, the new
movie, yes.
A remake of that?
Well, I don't know. I think it's the first time it was made, or was it made before?
Oh, I think so, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, this is the new version then.
Okay. Super duper. Yeah, well, have fun. Be careful. Enjoy yourself.
Have my wits scared out of me.
And tomorrow we'll talk about the joblessness.
Well, let's hope the numbers are good.
I'm sure they'll be fantastic.
But in any event, before we go, what was your final word on Georgia? You should boycott it, or do you think that their law is reasonable?
I think it's unreasonable. I don't like boycott. You know, believe it or you and I kind of agree on this. I always think boycotts kind of hurt the wrong people.
Yeah,
I agree. If that's what you have to do to stop an onerous bill,
I think
everybody should participate in some way. A boycott might be the only way some people can do it.
Go get some inversion therapy, clear out your head, and come back Monday.
It's to help my back, not my head. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.